You are listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind.
So my name is Monty Lilburn, and I typically host GTT Vancouver sessions, which take place during the first Saturday of every month, excluding July and August. The meetings take place at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and they last for 2 hours. For the first hour, we typically have a topic that we talk over and specifically focus upon, followed by the second half generally deals with things that people have difficulties with that they want to try to find out answers to, also some tips and tricks and just general discussion about mainstream and assistive technology. During this month's session, we're talking about technology that you may use to combat the problem of having to work from home. And we're going to discuss what is working and what isn't working. And maybe we can share some tips that we've gathered along the way, because I think every one of us has probably learned from our experiences over the past 6 weeks or so. Today, for the remainder of the session, we're going to talk a little bit about how we're getting on in the 2020s version of the pandemic, and specifically how you're getting on with technology as it concerns employment. But it doesn't have to just concern employment. If you have other endeavors that you're needing to connect to, we want to find out how that's working for you. We want to find out some issues that have come up, maybe some things that you've dealt with and you figured out solutions to. Maybe you have not found solutions to some elusive problems and you want to talk about that with other people. But I think that's how I want to set up today's session. And before we move on, we'll just see if anybody has any comments that they'd like to make so far, or we can dive right in.
Well, Monty, you've had to move your classroom to home and online. How has that process worked for you?
Yeah, so I'm lucky because I have a past of online training, probably from about 2007 to 2014. I did a lot of online training, so I'm used to working with people at a distance. I also have a company in the UK that I have clients that I work with at a distance. So I'm pretty lucky that in my other endeavors, I kind of was used to working remotely. So making that transition from face-to-face teaching to online teaching probably wasn't as difficult for me as it may have been if I didn't have the past experience. However, where I run into difficulties is a lot of the people that I teach are at the beginning of their technology journey. So they're not necessarily up on technology, and teaching them how to use some of the technologies that we need to use now is quite difficult, and it's over and above what they're trying to learn in the first place. So what I've tried to do is keep things simple. And for the most part, I can serve most of my students through email and telephone support. So I was thinking of this, and I think that's one of the takeaways I got from this, and I thought I would share with people too. We're hearing a lot about things like Zoom, and Zoom is a good example of, you know, what I'm going to say here. Zoom is a very good tool when you're having meetings or trying to reach a lot of people. But if you're just one-on-one, you could ask yourself, is there any point in using Zoom if you don't need to use video or anything that a simple telephone call won't support? So it's really just to say that technology is great and it helps us in so many ways. But think about what you're trying to achieve and if there's a simpler way to do it, because oftentimes there is. And that's what I found. When you keep it simple, there aren't as many things that go wrong. And I think people can focus a little bit more on their learning tasks than they have to, you know, worry about technology. So I'd say that's how it's working for me so far. Having said that, I am learning things every day. Things are coming up that haven't come up before. Video is a good example of that. I tend not to use video in Zoom primarily because I find that it eats up a lot of bandwidth and slows down the rest of the network. So in trying to keep my network available for other members of my household, I tend to not like to use video very much. Plus, I'm a bit selfish. It doesn't help me. So I sort of think, well, I don't need to help other people either. Plus, they don't need to look at my really long, messy hair or my messy office. So that tends to be sort of one thing I've run into. I have friends of mine who have accidentally showed the world dirty piles of laundry and all kinds of things like that. So it's something worth keeping in mind.
About the Zoom meeting, I sort of went through the same thing as you. You know, I don't need to have my video on because I can't see anybody else. So what I did, because sighted folks are really addicted to those pictures they see with their eyes. And so I've just uploaded a photograph of myself with a shirt and tie. So it's a nice professional photograph. So that's always on the screen when I'm talking to folks. Well, not when I'm using the GTT Zoom account, but when I'm using my personal account, they're seeing a picture of me in a shirt and tie. So at least I don't have to comb my hair because on the picture, it's already combed. I'm good. So at least the sighted folks get to see, you know, who I am and what I look like, but I don't have to deal with all that bandwidth issue as well. Yeah, that's been my experience anyway. It's been fun. It's been different. Yeah, social isolation's a little tougher to take, but you know, one of the things we've done just personally, we play Farkle or a dice game with two other couples every Saturday evening. We sit around the dining room table on video chat, and we play a dice game. So we're doing sort of interesting things over Zoom to bring back some of that social stuff that we're missing.
Can I ask, Albert, while you bring that up, when you're having your social gatherings, what are you using what application are you using with Zoom? Are you using your phone, or using a laptop, or using external microphones or speakers, or how are you dealing with that?
Certainly, it's been my experience just for reliability. If I'm doing Zoom meetings during the week, I'm always on my PC. If I'm simply listening to a webinar in the evenings, then I'll use my iPhone because I'm just sitting back listening. But if I'm having to participate and engage, I always do it from the PC. It's just more reliable. I'm not fond of Wi-Fi, so my PC is plugged into a network cable, so I never lose internet, or at least haven't yet. When we do the social stuff on Saturday evenings, we actually use Facebook Messenger. We do a group video chat with the other two couples. And so that we use that from my partner's iPad.
Nice.
We have done it from the laptop as well, but the iPad just is nice and easy. And if it's on the iPad, I don't have to do it. She does.
So to add to that, last Saturday evening, I had a social gathering with four other people. There's one other person, my partner, that lives in my house. And then we had four other people. And for the first time, I think it was our third attempt at a social gathering. Not attempt. We have had three social gatherings. And every time I've taken it one step further. And at last Saturday's was the best so far. So what I did is I had a laptop in the middle of the room, and I plugged in my Blue Yeti USB microphone that picked up our entire room. And then I beamed everybody else into my 7.2 stereo. So everybody else was in surround sound around our living room, and it sounded almost like people were in the room, except for they were all around us. But it sounded much better than the first time, I think, when I just had an iPhone and a Bluetooth speaker. So I'm getting a little bit better at this every time.
Wow.
But, yeah. But for the Saturday morning GTT Zoom, sadly, everybody, you're not in surround sound. You're just in my headphones. And I'm using, again, a Blue Yeti USB microphone with the PC version of Zoom. But I have to say, during the week, if I'm having business meetings through Zoom, I tend to just use my iPhone with a pair of headphones. And that way I can move around if I need to. But I'm lucky. I have a pretty decent Wi-Fi signal. So yeah, I'd be curious to know how it's working for everybody else.
Just as far as the socialization is concerned, one thing that I did last week was I had a movie night, and I got a whole bunch of people together, and we all watched the same Netflix. I shared my video, and we all watched a Netflix movie, you know, paused it on certain occasions, went and refreshed our beverages, had chit chat, And it was kind of fun. It was a little different, but it was just something to do. So just thought I'd throw that into the mix.
So were you all listening to the same audio stream, or was everybody on their own Netflix trying to synchronize?
No, it was the same audio stream. I was sharing my video, so everything that was coming from me. So yeah. It was the same. So, you know, when I paused the movie, everybody's movie paused kind of thing. So we were watching the same video feed. And, but yeah, yet we were still able to sort of, you know, hear each other also. And, you know, if there was comments made or laughter made or whatever. So it was almost like having people in the same room. So it was pretty nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could certainly be used in a work setting, couldn't it? You know, if you're sharing a promotional video or a tutorial video, you could share it amongst all of your colleagues through the same sort of process.
And Corey, while we have you talking about sharing your audio video, how was that for people that maybe haven't, you know, tried sharing things in Zoom or what have you? Was that a pretty easy process?
It went really, really well. And, you know, it was a movie with audio description. So, I mean, there were a couple of folks there that were totally blind. So they were able to benefit from that. So, you know, that was a benefit there too. But as mm-hmm. you know, as far as the technology went, it was pretty smooth. Did it with a Chrome browser. That was the recommendation of others that have tried before me. And no, didn't have any hiccups or anything really.
Good. Because I notice that sometimes people do have hiccups, and it really seems to depend on what day of the week it is and what the weather is outside. It's not always something that's predictable, but certainly the Chrome browser is probably a good one to use for that kind of thing, because it's updated constantly, and they also they build the Chrome browser to actually do things like Chromecast and share. So it makes it a very good choice for sharing audio and video.
Correct. But it was Zoom that you were using, though?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep, just did it on Zoom. I mean, there's an app you can get. You know, it's called Netflix Share or something now, and it's even way more complicated. You got to get everybody to join their own Netflix and blah, 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 and then click on a certain something. So, no, I just went the simple route and just shared my video on Zoom, and it worked out all right. And you're right. I mean, it does have a lot to do with how many people are there and you know, the time of day and how many people. I mean, I'm noticing the quality of Zoom calls differentiate tremendously. This one's fairly clear, but some of the ones in the week that I'm going to that have 40 or 50 participants, the audio tends to get muffled, and you know, you don't mind it in a work setting, but if you're trying to have a socialized, enjoyable experience, it can be a bit of a drag if the audio keeps fading in and out and such. So, but, you know, that again, that I guess I should suggest also that, you know, there were about six to eight people there only. So it wasn't a huge crowd.
So, you know, I've essentially, as of about March 18th or so, I moved to working from home. I've only been to work one day at work, you know, at the work site. But apart from that, I've been here the whole time. I tend to, because I'm part-time an administrator for our department as well, I'm in a lot of Zoom conference calls. And Monty, you're quite right, the bandwidth required for the video calls, but those guys, they want the video because they all like to look at each other and everything. So, you know, I've been in meetings from, you know, four people to about 60 people. And the bigger meetings, it's been interesting because I was able to get into the, they do breakout rooms. And that was quite interesting. I mean, I'm not the host of the meeting. So, you know, they put us in four breakout rooms. And, you know, I was able to participate in the breakout room. So that wasn't a problem. But when people share their, you know, they want to share some information and they share like a document or something, most of the time that document comes out as a graphic. It doesn't come out as anything that I can read. So I've, you know, and most of, you know, a lot of times they like to put the agenda on that way. So I ask them to please you know, speak out what's on the agenda or what the next point is or whatever, that sort of thing. And some of them have been quite cooperative. There was one group that had to do with occupational safety. They're quite new to this technology, so, you know, but I don't think the person really thought about it, you know. So, so the other thing that I find a little bit confusing is the messaging, you know, the text messaging that goes on during a Zoom conference. And I'm just using Zoom on my cell phone, not on the computer. I can't move from screen to screen, and you know, but it's quite confusing because, you know, let's say somebody starts sending a message, that's a text message, but somebody else starts typing at the same time or a response or whatever, it cuts off the previous message. So before you've heard the first message, it started the next message. So, I mean, I don't mind that too much. A lot of times it's not hugely important, the things, you know, somebody might be asking a question. But sometimes it's a little bit annoying because they put in like the link that they want you to look at, you know, maybe in the future or something. And I can't go copy that link off of the Zoom. So if anybody has a solution to, you know, collecting the text messages from a conference afterwards or something, so I could get that sort of information. If you guys know, you can let me know. I've sort of, you know, sent a message to the host afterwards and said, you know, if you can send me the information. And, you know, sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. So that's mostly it. I mean, in terms of dealing with my students, we're doing the same thing as Monty. You know, we just talk on the phone, send them emails. And the other thing is sometimes if they need like a form filled out, we still do it on the phone. I pull up the phone, you know, the form on my computer, and I put in the answers, the student, you know, I ask the questions to the student and the student dictates their answers, and I do their forms like they've done bursary applications and things, and I do those for them. A lot of my interaction with the students is on the phone, but with my administrative colleagues at the college, it's been mostly Zoom.
Some interesting new accessibility barriers there, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Because the Zoom chat is different for the sighted folks than it is for those of us who don't have any vision. I know in our GTT room, this room today, if any of you tried the chat, you'll find that it's turned off. Because the feedback we were getting is that with screen reader users, every time somebody popped out a chat message, everybody, you know, their screen readers went off, and then so they were missing what the presenter was saying.
So
it's also one of the Zoom bombing issues. So with us, we've just decided we'll turn it off, and I guess we'll turn it back on if anybody ever decides that we need that desperately.
Right.
Yeah, and my experience too is that the chat really just kind of gets in the way. I can address what I've done, Rita, in your situation where you're wanting to capture some of the text that comes across the screen. And there probably is a better way of doing this. It's just something that I learned on the fly when I thought, oh no, I need to get this URL that is being flashed on my screen. There may be a way to review the chat script afterwards or what have you. But the quick way I did it on the iPhone app is when you click on that more button at the bottom of your screen and you get to that sort of dialogue that lets you jump into the chat, you can flick left or right and move up and down the screen and read the text. And when you've flicked across some text that you want to capture and it reads it out loud, what I did very quickly was I just did a three finger quadruple tap and copied the text to the clipboard. And then I was able to deal with that very quickly I think I emailed it to myself and then looked at it on my PC. But it was kind of a roundabout way of getting the information quickly and in a quick and dirty kind of way.
And Rita, are you aware that the host of the meeting is sent a verbatim copy of all text after the meeting's over? So asking them to share it is not a big task. I mean, they are sent a copy of that.
If the meeting is being recorded, or no, I think the text comes in anyway, even if you don't record the meeting.
That's a good idea, definitely. But if you need it at the time, that's what I did, like during the meeting. But right. Certainly that's great. I didn't know that the text was sent afterwards.
Yeah,
it comes when we close out the meeting. Zoom just automatically sends me a TXT file of any text exchange that might have taken place.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's really good to know, because the main thing is that I need to find out who the host is. Sometimes it's not clear in these big meetings.
Well, if you look at the participants list, it'll say right. Who is the host, and it'll say who is recording the message, because that's the person who will get that piece of info.
Sorry, and welcome. I use Skype for Business and WebEx. WebEx never works for people using JAWS or Zoom Tech. So we do have a lot of conference calls, and then basically I just dial in from a regular phone. And then later on, I think next month or even earlier, they will be migrating the WebEx Teams to replace Skype for Business and WebEx. And WebEx Teams is actually available on iPhone, so by that time, you know, people can use their iPhone to connect to meetings that way.
Rodney, thanks for that. You actually just brought up something that triggered something in my mind, and I don't know if other people know this or not, but I certainly had to learn this the hard way. So for people that don't know, Skype for Business and Skype for Home, like ordinary Skype, is not the same thing. It's the same thing in name only, but it's not the same platform. Because I was trying to use my normal Skype app on my iPhone to join a Skype business meeting, and it just was not working and causing all kinds of trouble, because little old naive me did not know that it wasn't the same family of products. It's they're two separate technologies that are owned by Microsoft, and they just gave them the same, they badged them under the same name, but they are two separate technologies. And you're quite right, Rodney. I think that they are probably going to slowly do away with WebEx and Skype for Business and migrate everybody over to Microsoft Teams, because that's proving to be a very reliable conferencing tool. But so have you been using this technology before the last 6 weeks, Rodney? Have you been, or is it something you've had to learn recently?
No, we have not officially migrated yet. And another twist to the thing is that my phone is too old. I have just ordered the new SE. So when it comes, I will have the latest iOS, and then I'll be able to install the software.
All right. So are you using the app on the phone, or are you just using the actual telephone part of the phone?
Well, the direct call thing through your phone, that thing always works. It's the software part that doesn't work on my PC. That's why right. I have to find an alternate way.
See, I think the problem with Microsoft is they have competing solutions within their family. And I think that makes things a little bit tricky. But as they consolidate, they'll be ready for the next pandemic. One thing I've definitely learned, though, is as nice as it is to be able to provide training online, nothing beats face-to-face. Nothing comes close to that so far. This is a good, it'll do, because there's no other choice, but I definitely prefer face-to-face, and I find that people get way more out of it, something that they just can't get online.
The only other thing that's been, which is different, is I've been taking part in a musical session where two people, one plays guitar, one plays fiddle, and they're in the same place. So the rest of us, there's about 30 people probably that are playing. Basically, we're playing along with them, so we can hear them on Zoom, and then everyone just mutes themselves. So we're basically playing along with the fiddle and guitar. But that's and then we always have a little social chat in between tunes and so on. So it's about the only way now that I'm doing anything and related to music that's quite fun. Because we all mute ourselves. All the participants mute themselves, but the two musicians, they're in the same location. So they are, all we're hearing is them, actually. But that's been going on now for about a month or so, once a week, for a couple of 2 to 3 hours on a Wednesday night.
So there you go, Mary.
I've been quite enjoying that.
Mary, you'll have to do like Monty did and broadcast that on your surround sound stereo. Then you'd be sitting in the concert
right.
hall with
yeah.
them.
Yeah, well. So that's basically anything that I'm doing that's different is right now.
Yeah, I think we heard a lot of interesting things from different people. One of the things I think is going to happen is this is going to change how things are done in the future. Hopefully for the better. Hopefully they will make things a little more accessible to us who rely on accessibility. I'm also hoping that maybe at some point, Zoom will offer a link to the original document when somebody shares. That would also be nice if they do that at some point in the future. That thought occurred to me when we were talking about sharing documents earlier. That wouldn't be a very difficult feature for them to include if they wanted to. But I think in general, I think this is going to make the world move to online situations a little faster than it would have otherwise, especially for the gig economy and deliveries and online services. But we really do sort of see where some of the shortcomings are right now. Like, for example, I know Canada Post is under a lot of pressure. They're busier than they normally are at Christmas these days. So it's sort of showing us what we need to do to change. But I think we're lucky that technology is in a place where we can take advantage of this, because if it happened, you know, even 5 years ago, it would have been a little bit more difficult than it is now.
Agreed. And I think too, with something I try and say to, certainly to our community, to the blind, low vision community, is, you know, we're seeing now lots of people really in a hurry to learn more about their technology, because the face-to-face supports that were there are not there to the same degree they were. And so a bit more independence, a bit more familiarity with their technology is really needed. And I think too, as the work world changes after this pandemic, we're going to perhaps see more opportunities to work from home, which may open up more opportunities for people in the disability community. And so, you know, I'm saying to people, get up to speed, get your technology, learn it, learn how to work around some of the headaches you're going to bump your head on, because there may be more opportunities for you going forward.
Yeah, this is Ronnie. I completely agree with Albert. And this is a good time for people who are visually impaired, blind, to crank up their tech skills using JAWS, NVD, whatever. And because in a remote environment, you're basically, you're your own tech support, right? You cannot try to call somebody and they can look at your screen, and it'll be difficult. So you have to be very good at what you're doing. You know your tools, that kind of thing. So it's a good time to do that right now.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see some other changes too, you guys. Like, for example, Sela right now cannot send out any CDs. So there's another whole group of folks who are now, all of a sudden, instead of just waiting for the CD to come, now they're having to go online and grab a book. Or if they had a brother, sister, cousin, or neighbor who used to come in and download their books for them, now folks are needing to learn how to do that themselves a little bit more. I'm liking how this is kind of pushing us out of our little comfort zones that we might get into, and getting out there and figuring a bit more of this stuff out ourselves. So I'm liking how that's pushing us forward in some respect.
By the way, I'm hearing some tremendous feedback about that SE. People are just loving it. You know, I mean, it's obviously has its restrictions, but for the price, people are quite impressed.
Well, Laura says the camera, I mean, both of these folks are sighted, but the camera is just spectacular.
See, when you look at the price, right, in U.S. it's $3.99. In Canada, it's $6.99. They're using the 1.5 exchange rate, right?
No, it's $5.99 in Canada.
$5.99, yes, that's right. So, I mean, if you need that loan, go ahead and get it now. Don't wait.
The size of an 8, but it's the chip of the 11. That's what makes it so good, is that it's going to be around for quite a while.
As soon as Apple launched the new SE, they discontinued the 8 right away.
So does anybody know with the new SE, is there a touch sensor on that, or is it just Face ID?
Touch sensor.
Good.
No facial. I saw a demo of the SE, and a guy actually put his SE in a glass of water, totally submerged it for 30 minutes, and pulled it out, and it just worked like a charm.
Well, this is Rodney again. So when it comes to working from home, it depends on who you work for, right? For me, like, for my colleagues, they connect via Citrix. Basically, this is pretty much a window into the corporate server. So it doesn't matter what you're running on your PC. It depends on what's available on the other end. So you're limited by what's being offered by your employer. It's not like it, you have your Y drive, X drive, whatever, attached to your local PC and work from there. So it's kind of a different environment, you know, for different employers.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Do you work out of a server at VCC, you guys, Monty and Rita?
I'm just doing everything on my PC. They wanted us to work from their server, but, well, I think Monty tried it and it didn't seem to work with JAWS, so I haven't tried it. So I mostly do the stuff on my PC, and then I email things in if I need to do it. You know, if they want something, I email them an attachment.
Yeah, I'll just add to that. Yeah, so at VCC, they wanted people to use the inaccessible remote desktop, the Windows remote desktop. And so that doesn't really work for us because it turns everything into a graphic. But what we also have are two other options. One is to access our, we have some shared drives, like Rodney was just talking about, and we can get into that with a VPN. So we're able to do that with a virtual private network, but it's a bit of a hassle to get working and to set up. And I have one computer that can do it, and it's not the one I'm using most days. So I try not to do it that way. And our work also makes use of OneDrive. So to share documents to your OneDrive, you can also do from home. But that tends to be your own material and not stuff that you share with other people.
Hmm. Right. So this is, basically it's two ways. Now, for our bank, there are basically at least two ways to connect to the system. For regularly sighted people, they just use their laptop PC, and then they use VPN Citrix to lock onto the system. And then for people who are visually impaired blind, they use JAWS ZoomText. They actually have dedicated PCs provided by the bank. And then each PC is connected to a dedicated router and then to a separate internet connection. In my situation, before I started from home, there is a Shaw cable guy coming over to install a separate internet connection, separate from that in my house. So I have a dedicated connection to the server with a dedicated router. So I sign on to the system like I would in the office. So I have ZoomText on my PC. And for people who use JAWS, that's the same case. They have JAWS on their PC. So it's a direct connection. They don't use VPN, so no need to deal with the graphic and Citrix thing. So it's so two different scenarios for two different groups of employees.
Interesting.
That's so they really have set up a private network for you.
Hmm. When I worked for EATI, Equipment and Assistive Technology Initiative, my PC here on my desk was simply a conduit through a VPN to a computer they had in the office in Vancouver. And so that computer was connected to the network. And so I was basically every morning I would fire up, hook onto that computer in Vancouver, and then operate through there, through that remote connection. And that was really accessible and workable. There was no company information whatsoever on this computer sitting on my desk. It was just simply a computer that got me into the computer in Vancouver.
One thing I am noticing, so the trend for maybe not large businesses, because I think they're slower to react. And as Rodney and I have discussed in the past, banks are even slower than that to react. But what a lot of small and medium-sized businesses are moving towards, and I know because I have a few clients that tell me what's going on and things I need to do for them, a lot of those sort of places are now moving away from the traditional sort of network drive situation where they have H drives and X drives and Z drives, and they're moving over to just essentially using the cloud for things. But as Rodney can tell you, the cloud has some security issues that will prevent some businesses from moving to that exclusively. But a lot more, I think we're going to see a lot more sort of access through things like Dropbox and iCloud and OneDrive and Google Drive than we do already. That's where they seem to be moving. I can tell everybody, though, that the next and final GTT of the first half of 2020 is going to be on Saturday, June 6th. 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Thank you for listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind. There are many ways to get in touch with us. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-304-0968. You can follow our GTT blog at gttprogram.blog. If you'd like to subscribe to our email support list, you can send a blank email to gttsupport+subscribe@groups.io. And you can follow the Canadian Council of the Blind on the web at ccbnational.net.